Open your Bibles with me this morning to the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 39, in a moment we'll be reading verses 21 through 23. A short passage this morning, but a passage that contains within it an example from Joseph's life of really one of the great, great blessings that come to the Christian. Jesus, in his ministry, speaking of his people, comparing us to sheep at that point, which there are a certain level of equivalencies there, he says, I have come that my sheep, and they can have life, that they can have life abundantly. The great abundance of the Christian life is often misidentified, it's often ignored, and it's something that God makes available to us, but it is one of the great pleasures and benefits of being a Christian. Is God says, I have come that you can have life, and I want you to have it abundantly. I am yet to meet a person who says, I don't want abundance. I want to scrimp. I want to barely get by. I want to be in a situation to where I'm almost happy. I'm almost fulfilled. No, that's not what we say. That's not what we want. That would be abnormal. What we want is to live in abundance. And God says, I do that for you. Now, in this passage, we're going to come back to Joseph and speak of Joseph again today. And he is in a place where it looks like he should not have any abundant living. We actually pick up the narrative immediately where we left it off last week, where he has been thrown into prison. Let's remember the life of Joseph. Let me bring you up to date on the setting. Joseph has been sold into slavery by his loving brothers. He has been carried by the slave traders down to Egypt. There he has been sold as a slave to an Egyptian authority officer named Potiphar. He goes into Potiphar's household, and quickly, because of God's blessing upon his life, he rises to the top, and he is the chief servant, the chief slave of Potiphar's household, and he is running the household. Everything that happens, happens through him. Well, the problem that he runs into is Potiphar's wife. Interestingly, the woman is never named. She is only referred to as the wife of Potiphar. But she sees Joseph. He is a young man. He is a handsome man. And she decides that she wants to have an illicit relationship with him. And so she makes that proposal repeatedly. And he resists her. He resists her, and he uses the phrase in there, I could never do this sin against my master Potiphar, or how can you ask me to sin against God? And he refuses. He maintains his integrity. Well, after a season of time, Potiphar's wife no longer is willing to accept this, and so she ultimately makes a false accusation against Joseph, publicly and ultimately to her husband Potiphar, that he had made inappropriate advances toward her. And so now Potiphar is angry, and he throws Joseph into prison. And the prison that he is put in is the same prison that Pharaoh sends his prisoners to. You know, they had a level of penal systems. But this was, in some ways, maximum security, because this is where the officials sent their prisoners. But it was also a place where there was some activity. It was kind of a different sort of prison. It wasn't like a dungeon, but it was a prison. And he is in prison, and he's imprisoned there. And we're going to pick up the narrative while he is in prison. And we have to remember that he is in prison unjustly. He has done nothing wrong. He has actually been faithful to his owner, his master, Potiphar, more faithful than Potiphar's wife sought to be. But yet, because of this and because of false accusations, he ends up in a bad place that he does not deserve to be in. And this is where he finds himself. And this is where we pick up the narrative, and we see that God presents to Joseph, even in a place of extraordinary difficulty, That is, he is in a place where he does not deserve to be through no fault of his own, but yet even in that place, he lives in the abundance of God. Why? Because God extends his presence to him. God is with him. His presence is physically and spiritually and emotionally with Joseph. And we see the benefit that he has. And this is a benefit that we have universally. Those of us who bear the name of Christ, God says, I will be with you. Jesus says, no one can separate you from me. No one can take you out of my Father's hand. There's no power in earth that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in that we have his presence, we know his presence, no matter our situation or circumstance. Let's read about this together now in Genesis 39, beginning in verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. He granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden, and the warden put all the prisoners who were in the prison under Joseph's authority, and he was responsible for everything that was done there. The warden did not bother with anything under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and the Lord made everything he did successful. Now again, here is Joseph. He really has had a run of really tough luck, so to speak. He has had his brothers sell him into slavery. He is now an Egyptian slave. He is now an imprisoned Egyptian slave. He keeps sliding further down. And understand, none of this is his fault. But what the first principle we see described and exemplified for us in this situation is that God is with him, and God is with him even while he is in prison. Now, we often have a misconception about God, that he only goes to good places, and he only hangs out with good people. Now, we gathered here this morning to worship, and God has joined us here. But I am assuming that when you came to church this morning, when you came to attend this service, you came expecting to find God here. We would expect to find God in this place. I hope we find God in this place. I assure you, God is in this place. He is with us. Whenever two or three gather, he gathers with us. He is here with us today. But this should be a surprise to no one. This is church. This is Sunday morning. We're doing what all good Baptists do. We're going to church on Sunday morning, and we're meeting God there. He is in this place. But what about other places? We don't stay here. We're not going to be here all that long, you hope. We assume that sometime here pretty soon we're going to sing a song and say amen and go our separate ways. Is God's presence going to be with you there? Is he going to be with you when you go to work tomorrow? When you go on your job, where you go wherever you're going to be, in your home with your family? Is God going to be there as well? Here we see a situation where Joseph, who was a man who was honorable in his relationship with God, who has his faith and trust in God above everything else. He can't have faith and his trust in his family. His family sold him into slavery. His father loves him, but his father thinks he's dead. There is no support coming from back home. He can't have faith in them. The only place Joseph can find comfort and security is in his relationship with God. And now he is in prison. Would God go there? Would God go to a place where there are criminals? Now, even innocent criminals, I guess that's kind of an oxymoron. But here's Joseph. He's not guilty, but he's still in prison. And he is in a place where there are criminals, where there are people who deserve to be there. But even while he was there, that first line that we read in verse 21 says, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. Does this sound like kindness to you? He is in prison, falsely accused. He has been taken from his family. He's been sold into slavery. Now, even as a slave, he has been imprisoned unjustly. Does that sound like God's kindness? It would not to us if we judged God's presence and God's kindness and God's goodness purely on our surface circumstance. of our situation at the moment. But what we see here, the first thing I want us to note is that God comes to where His people are, no matter where they are. God even goes into prison. It was true with Joseph over 3,000 years ago, and it is true to this day. One of the great, great stories or series of stories that we keep hearing from our missionaries and people who work and chaplains who work within the prison systems across the United States has been the tremendous spiritual awakening and the tremendous what we would call revival that's happening inside the gates of the prisons that are happening with the prisoners. Angola Prison, one of the toughest prisons down in anywhere in the United States, in Louisiana, has had now for several years a strong spiritual awakening revival going on. You know, they actually teach seminary classes in Angola Prison and other prisons around our country. Now, when I was in seminary, I kind of felt like I was in prison, but the reality is they actually teach, they have prisoners who want to be seminary students. Why? Because God has met them in that place. They have come and they have found Christ even in their incarceration. They have given themselves to the Lord and they are seeking to minister where they are. And actually, these guys have to because they can't go anywhere else. But the reality is this process and work of the Holy Spirit working within the prisons of our country has been so effective and so powerful and so strong that some of these prisoners, once they go through some of this training and they remain in their commitment to God, they actually are seeking to get transferred to other prisons around the country so they can be prisoner chaplains, so they can be prisoner pastors. And maybe that might be easier. They have to come to church. you know where to find them. But the reality is that's happening. God in our culture, in our country, in our place, He is going into the prisons and He is touching some of the hardest, some of the most violent, some of the angriest people, and He is transforming them. Why? Because His presence makes a difference. God is not held back by human situation or in human presence. God goes. Now you're saying, well, that's good, Pastor. I'm excited to hear things like that. I'm glad to know things like that are happening across our country, but that has anything to do with me. I'm not a prisoner yet. I mean, I'm not there. That's not where my life is. But I assure you that there are times in all of our lives when we feel like we are in a place where God cannot go. But that place doesn't exist. God can go anywhere. And sometimes we end up in these places and we say, this isn't fair. This isn't good. I did not deserve this. I didn't do anything. Well, neither did Joseph. He actually was honorable, and because of his honor, he ended up in prison. And this happens to us. I just got through with a week of kids camp. But I do not know how many times over this past week and how many times the years going to kids camp, I've heard statements come from little voices that said, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. You know what my response to them? Get used to it, kid. That's the way life is. Time to start hardening you up. You're at kids camp. We're going to start getting you ready for the real world. Life's not fair. It is not fair. It is not fair for you or a close family member of yours to go into a doctor's office and for that doctor to come out and look at you or your loved one and say, you have cancer. That is not fair. It is not fair to get a phone call and find out that a family member, a loved one of yours, has died. It's not fair. It is not fair to be mistreated, to be bullied. It is not fair to live in a home where the parents are violent. It's not fair. Life is not fair. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that since Adam and Eve sinned against God, life hasn't been fair to anyone. It just doesn't work that way. But the good news is God is not pushed off by our circumstance. It does not matter what is imprisoning us. It does not matter what kind of unfair activities have fallen upon us. It does not matter what our circumstance or our present place is at any given time, anywhere, anytime, God's presence is not resistant. He comes. He shows Himself. Where we gather, the Spirit of God gathers. This is one of the great benefits of the abundant life of the Christian life that is not available anywhere else by any other means, by any other power. God wants to be with you, and His presence will come to you. And then we deal with this thing within our own lives when we see that perhaps some of our struggles are our fault. We've made some bad choices. We have yielded to temptation. We haven't behaved as we know Christians ought to behave. And we begin to wonder, can God still love me? The answer is absolutely yes. God loves you. He doesn't love us just when we're good. He loves us all the time. And He comes to us even when we have imprisoned ourselves by bad choices and poor behavior. He comes to us and He finds us, and His goal is to free us from the prisons, whether inflicted upon us or self-imposed. God comes and He presents Himself to us, and He is with us. And in there we find abundance. Even in the prison in Egypt, Joseph could find abundance. Why? Because the presence of God came to him, and God was with him. And so it is in your life and my life. Wherever it is we are, God is with us. He does not leave us. He does not forsake us. His presence is with us, and in Him we find abundance. And in His presence, He brings blessings to us. Look at verse 22. And the warden put all the prisoners who were in the prison under Joseph's authority, and he was responsible for everything that was done there. Here he is. Same thing that happened in Potiphar's house. He was the slave of Potiphar, then he rose to be the chief slave of Potiphar. Now he is in prison, and he's raised up because of the blessings that God has poured out upon him, and the recognition by the warden of his abilities, he is now the chief prisoner. And again, it may not be a great circumstance, but if you're in prison, you may as well be you're better off being the chief prisoner than the not chief prisoner. As far as his situation is concerned, it could not be better. Why? Because God saw him, God came to him, God blessed him. Now, he wasn't out of prison yet. Now, in fact, you read the rest of the narrative, and we're going to cover this over the next few weeks in this sermon series. As this unfolds, he stays in prison for some years. He doesn't get out of prison right away. And we look at this and we'd say, well, if God's going to bless him, the only blessing that makes any difference is he gets out of jail, get out of jail free card. But this isn't Monopoly. This is God's plan. This is God working. And God comes to him. And even in his difficult, unfair circumstance, God invests himself, God's self, into Joseph's life. And Joseph is blessed, even in difficult circumstance. And we know that. We experience that. We walk through the traumas of life. We go through bereavement. We go through illness. We go through disappointment. We go through layoffs in our jobs, pressures from outside. We go through non-Christian acquaintances or family members who are opposed to our faith and our beliefs and the positions we take in life. We go through all of those things, but we understand that God's presence is with us, and He blesses us. You see, the real blessing here for Joseph, yes, he was blessed in that everything he touched in this sense kind of turned to gold. Everything he did was seen and was approved, and he rose through the ranks of the prisoners to become the head of the prisoners and had authority over them, which gave him more privileges and creature comforts than he would have had otherwise. But the great blessing wasn't that. The great blessing was the presence of God itself. Understand that. There is nothing that God gives us that are blessings that we receive that are as great as the blessings of the presence of God. Understand that. Now, God blesses us. I am a blessed man. I do not have time. You do not want me to go through all of the blessings that God has done for me. They are, sorry to say legion, but that's kind of the wrong analogy. They are incredible in number. It's unbelievable what God has done for me. I am such a blessed man. My life is so full of joy and happiness. I've got a great and wonderful family. I've got a fantastic church family. I live great. I mean, God is good. But all of that pales compared to the presence of God that He extends to me every day. Yeah, He extends His presence when I am in worship with you and I have this responsibility of preaching the gospel and the message of God to you. God is with me and I feel and know His presence. But all of those blessings, they pale when I consider what it means that the God of the universe, the God of creation, the God of history, the God who is the Father of Jesus, who came and lived and died upon a cross and rose again, that God extends His presence to me. I don't deserve it. I haven't earned it. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. But He gives it to me anyway. And He has that available. It's not because I'm pastor. It has nothing to do with it. He has the same blessing for you. And you can live in that joy. He comes to you. And His presence is the blessing that He offers and gives to you every day in your homes, on the job, in your school, wherever it is you are. Even in difficult days, undeserved difficulties, the presence of God is the blessing. And it raises up Joseph. And He blessed him. And the other result that comes from the blessing that God gives to His people is that reflects and shines the person of God out to people who otherwise would never see Him. Look at verse 23. The warden did not bother with anything under Joseph's authority, listen to this, because the Lord was with him. And the Lord made everything that he did successful. Now, the warden is an Egyptian. The warden is not a God-fearer. He has his own theistic system that he has had all of his life. But now here comes this Hebrew prisoner, charged with inappropriate advances toward an Egyptian woman of authority. And he is in his prison, and yet this warden watches him, and he sees him, and he sees him do well, and he sees him successful, and he raises him up, and he gives him privileges and responsibility, and Joseph becomes well known, and he's an authority within that prison, and that warden sees the hand of God. And when you read the entire narrative, you see that every time anyone comes to Joseph and says, "You are really, really good at this," whether it's interpreting a dream or whatever it might be, Joseph's response is always similar. It is not I that does this, it is the Lord God. It is the God of my grandfather Abraham, the God of my father Isaac. It is my God who does these things, and I am merely the tool he uses. That's in essence what he says over and over and over again. And that warden heard that. The prisoners that were under Joseph's authority heard that and saw that. The other people who came around and watch this. Eventually, Pharaoh. I mean, over time, this gets all the way up to Pharaoh. That here is a person, and God is reflecting through him. And this warden would never have seen the Lord God, the father the spiritual father of Abraham and of Isaac, and now of Jacob and Joseph. He would never have known who he was, except here is a man who had the presence of God with him. Now, there are people in your lives, people in your families, people who you work with, go to school with, who you are acquaintances with. There will likely be people this week who you may meet for the very first time. And the best reflection they're going to have of God, the best image they're ever going to see of our resurrected Christ, is what He does through your life. How He injects His blessings and His presence into you, and how that radiates out from you and touches those around us. You know, there is no group of people who should be more full of joy and happiness and excitement and just the great abundance of life than the Christian. Why? Because we've been redeemed. We live in the grace of God. God is good to us. And we live in that joy. And that should radiate from us. There should be bounce in our step. There should be laughter in our voice. There should be joy over everything that happens in and around our lives. Why? Not because we're just good, happy people. It is because we have the presence of God and we are living in His abundance because of His presence. And that message goes out. It cannot be contained. That is exactly what Jesus meant when He said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. The joy of the Christian life radiates out, and people see that. That's our job. We're supposed to be Christians. Oh, yeah, in here, but out there, it's a dark world that needs that light. The presence of God is that light. It's not me. It's not you. It is the presence of God that is the light, and it's time for us to take it out there. Now, the question, the personal question I need to ask you this morning is, what is your relationship with God? Does His presence reflect in your life? Do you live with His presence every day? It's an important question, and it's one we must answer. The truth of the matter is, and this is not a politically correct statement, it is biblically correct, is if you do not have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and have a faith and a relationship with Him in His resurrection, then the presence of God is not fully available to you. It's just not. And He wants that to be in you. So let me ask you a question. Let me make a proposal to you that if you do not know Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, if you've never professed Him and expressed your faith in His resurrection, won't you consider doing that today? Won't you consider who Jesus is, what the Bible teaches about Him, and to embrace that and make that a part of your life so the presence of God can indwell you and be with you? And you can have what we've seen in the illustration of Joseph in your life every day. The second question I want to propose to you, that if you do know Christ as your Lord and Savior, but yet you don't feel His presence, understand, if you don't feel it, that doesn't mean it's not there, for one thing. The other thing is there may be something inhibiting His reflection. There may be something in your life, and that is between you and God. He will recognize it. He will reveal to you what you need to do to receive His presence and to reflect His presence and to walk in the joy and the abundance that He has for you.